What's new, Pussycats? Whoa! What's new, Pussycats? Whoa!
Pussycats, it's an hour. Luke smells like flowers. Evan is so cute. Trella and Fuzzy recording the Pussycats. Pussycats, Pussycats, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your Pussycats bros.
What's new, Pussycats? Whoa! What's new, Pussycats? Whoa!
Welcome to the What's New Pussycast, episode 4, with special guest Fuzz, and also without Luke, because he's sick. Yo, Fuzz, you got anything to say?
You just got in there the whole time. I was waiting for you to say something.
This is the first podcast I've been on, dude. I have no idea how this shit works. I miss my man Luke.
Yeah, this is my first time hosting a podcast by myself because unfortunately Luke's been sick for the last few days, and we were gonna record with him tonight, and he was like, yeah, sickness is coming back, so prayers, thoughts, and prayers for my boy Luke.
A memorial will be held in the Wonder Dome for our boy Luke.
Yes. Please, thoughts and prayers in the Wonder Dome for Luke. Yeah, so we got not Montreal GM. I'm sorry. Carolina GM, Fuzz SHL.
Old news, dude.
Yeah, that is old news. But yeah, we got him here. First ones, we claim him. And yeah, so that, how about we just jump right into the questions? So I'm going to start with a question for you, Fuzz, from my boy Huck. If the stop-motion Kraken from the 1981 Clash of the Titans movie fought the CGI Kraken from the 2010 version of the movie, who would win?
Stop-motion version all day, dude.
Hell yeah.
CGI Kraken, as great as it is, so fake. But the stop-motion one is actually real. It's a physical thing. People had to stop and move to make the movie. So am I going to take a real thing or some fake computer thing? The real thing all day.
I fully agree with that. Yeah. Honestly, like, the stop motion one is pretty fucking dope.
It honestly takes a lot of skill to
have
done that anyways. So, I mean, not knocking CGI at all, but if I could hold one in my hand, that's... It's going to take I guess the argument can be made, how do you beat up CGI? You don't. Do you take a bat to a computer? Does that work? I think the stop motion one still wins in that case.
Yeah. Just take a bat to a computer. I like that mental image. Yeah, so then he asked me, Nikolaj Muller has led the SNJHL in points the last two seasons. He has definitely been offensive juggernaut. How do you think his game will translate into the big leagues? Okay, so to be honest, I have no clue. It's like, I hope it translates well, but I know I'm probably going to be playing third line minutes on a stacked team, so honestly, we'll have to see. But I'm pretty sure my build right now is pretty decent. So it could end up getting points where it's reasonable and I'm happy with it. But, like, it's not going to be as good as what I had in SMJHL. And that is just how I'm going to have to live with things.
Staying down for that fourth season, though, gave you a little more of a buffer for your rookie SHL season, though. So,
yeah, definitely.
You do a little better than I guess you'll expect to do.
I mean, but, like, comparables for coming into SHL for your fifth season would be, like, Buffalo prospects, like Hippo Passimus, Monkey D. Luffy. They both came in, like, maybe even more TB than I had, like, top of their class, and had Luffy had a great season last season, but Passimus was a bit disappointing, but now he's, like, a god, and fantasy god as well. Definitely take him if you haven't. He is a steal. That is my fantasy tip for people who are
fantasy
listening.
Fantasy tip of the day.
Yeah. Fantasy tip of the day. Take him.
Luffy's been killing it, though.
But, yeah, Luffy did great last season. He kind of sucks he didn't get the Jester, but he...
Him and Slash both robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Tampa Bay had the better... Had the better rookies, so I don't think the awards have even been given out, but, like, I don't think he's gonna get it. I don't know why I'm predicting it right now. I just realized that the awards haven't been given out. This is my bad. Yeah. So. Oh, that's how about for the next question that's targeted for me and Luke, we talk about the Spectres versus the Stampede, because unfortunately Luke can't be here. So how do your SHL teams stack up against each other's teams for the next season? I mean,
well, how is Buffalo actually? I haven't taken a look at their roster situation. I know Manhattan's looking up. Luke's player has been...
Manhattan's well. Been pretty good. Buffalo, we just got Trotner. He is very good. He's, like, almost top of his class. Yeah, we have a whole bunch of really good guys on our team. I think almost everyone except for, like, the younger guy, like the guys that are 46, 47 are over 1,000 TPE, and top is around 18 with carry, 1,800 TPE. So I think we're pretty good. We have a good roster, mostly active. How about the Spectres? I know you guys are getting Huck.
Yeah, Huck's coming up, filling a hole on defense. I think we're losing Clint Eastwood and Hefeweizen.
Mm-hmm.
Our defense still is going to be pretty strong next year. We got Fist in his last season. We still got Bob Bergen on the top pairing. Serpy's still running in fairly well. Yeah, we got Slash in goal. He's got a little bit of a weird build with size as a weakness, but he's still been consistently one of the better goalies in the league. And you catch him in a hot streak, there's not much as getting by him. But our forward core is, I think, definitely the strong suits. Go look at it real quick. We've got Lil Manius from Winnipeg last season. And we still got Osen Fletcher, Evox player. She's actually moving to defense for the last season because she just recreated. We got Madge's player, Peter Tchaikovsky. Blast, you got Demarcus Smith, Nick Williams. Joe's player still somehow fighting off death. He got, I don't know. It's him and Essa. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And then we got me and Sloth. So we got, we're pretty much running three lines, but it's three really strong lines.
Yeah.
So that you're getting hit in the mouth in every single line. So I think, and there's some chances for it to get even better. We don't have as many draft picks as we would have liked. Obviously, we had to move some to make the moves that we did. But we're definitely not in a bad spot. And I think we've still got a fairly long window to get a cup or two.
Yeah. Yeah, Buffalo has... We have a couple. We have... I think we have four in the first two rounds, which is pretty strong. I think, yeah.
Thank balls for that one.
Praise balls. It's balls time. Yeah. So also, I think... fantasy hint, McZee's becoming a forward, so...
Yeah, Eggie took McZee in my group.
So think about it before you choose it. That's the hint. Okay, I'm not a good person to talk about fantasy, but
yeah,
it's probably something to think about.
I've won one group and I've lost the other one that I've been. Like, I've been first and last.
Yeah, I think I got lucky for my first ever time back in, I think, season 37 or 38. I don't know. I ended up like fourth in the league. I don't know how I did that. I got lucky. Yeah, but I guess we can move on to the next question. Asker of Chicago, and he asks
a whole lot of questions.
So I guess what we can do for this one is like read yours and then read mine and then just flip back and forth, I guess. So first for you, he asks, how long have you known the rebrand was official?
I actually go back and look at my messages.
This was asked several days ago on the 16th. And this was recorded on the 21st. So
we knew as of basically the day before my birthday, we knew September 12th. I can't remember where that exactly fell in terms of the playoff timeline. But we've been working on it for basically the whole season. I brought it up after the Reddit draft last season, and I tried to message all the alumni that I could get in touch with. Some responded, some didn't. Some filled out forms but didn't message back. And then I talked to the roster. Basically, we got into a channel, and just the current roster and management had a conversation of, this is what we're thinking of doing. What do you guys think? Do you have any ideas or suggestions? And we opened the floor to, you know, have them put their input in as well. You know, we thought it was a good idea to get them, one, to feel like, you know, they have a say in things as well. Because you want your team to obviously feel like they have, like they're heard, basically. And another one was, we had a few ideas, but nothing we really loved. And so we're like, you know, let's see if anybody has some good ideas. but we had a few. We were trying working on it all season. The original plan was for last off season, but the timeline just didn't fit. It would have been too soon. It wouldn't have been done right. So we set off. And so the brand has been done for like three, four weeks. And we knew there was a pretty decent chance of a rebrand being accepted. We typed something up, finalized some small details here and there, and sent it into Wick. And heard back fairly quickly. I think it was within 2 days of me sending the official proposal is when it got accepted. But we were just trying to make sure that we took care of all the possibilities that we could and tried to limit the amount of backlash that we were inevitably going to get in moving a technically original team. I feel like I answered a few other of those questions in there, but
yeah. So then he asks me and Luke, what are your respective thoughts on the rebrand? So I've known about the rebrand, I mean, even for a while, because
we talked about it last
time. We talked about even being GMs together back when the CHL was a thing. And you showed me some brands for like a Carolina team, and then you reached out to me. We're like, yeah, you want to join the staff? And yeah, so that I think back in, yeah, earlier this month, you send me some of the some of the ideas for the rebrand. So I've known about it for quite a while, but like I think it's pretty clean. One of my main points of like agreeing like with the rebrand is that Montreal deserves like an SHL team. So like if there, I know it's never gonna move, but like something like Winnipeg, because Winnipeg, even though it's like historical with the league, it's one of the main complaints that some people have with it is that it's not an original team name since the NHL brought it back. But like maybe they can move it, but I doubt that's ever gonna happen. But like if there's an expansion team, it could be in Montreal. Who knows? It opens up the possibility.
Yeah, the conversation has been there.
Yeah.
Conversation has been brought up. I know it's at least been mentioned of possible expansion again. And part of our reasoning was, you know, Montreal, with the city as big as it is and how much hockey is ingrained into Montreal's culture, they don't deserve a juniors team. They deserve a majors team. Yeah. And so that played into part of it, especially like, you know, it's a possibility of the league expanding soon. And if there's a Montreal juniors team, there's no way an expansion team is going to be accepted for there as well. And yeah. So that played a part into it. But like personally didn't have anything to do against Montreal, like the city. It wasn't supposed to be a slight against that at all.
Yeah, so now we got another question for you about the rebrand. I'm gonna mix together these next two questions. So how much of the response to the announcement were you expecting, and will you miss the Militia brand?
We were expecting a lot more backlash than we actually got. And we got a fair amount mainly from some of the older members of the site and some who had a little more history with Montreal, which was to be expected. You can't make everybody happy, and we knew, especially moving a team with the history that Montreal did, that we were going to get some. But there was honestly a lot more positive response to it as well than we were expecting. Like, we were expecting some people to respond to it in a good way. We were mostly expecting new members from like the past two or three draft classes to be the ones that liked it, because they didn't really associate themselves with Montreal or the history of it too well. But there was a good number of older members that liked the move as well, and we got the blessing of a few older Montreal members as well last season, who said it's time to rebrand and a fresh start wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't want to name names, obviously, but the overall response was a lot better than we were expecting, which was very nice to see. Obviously, you don't want to see negative response to anything. And so to the people who were worried about, you know, I know I saw a message floating around of me removing the history posts that were pinned in the public team forum. I'm working on a condensed history that links to each of those posts individually, but I thought it would be way too cluttered if we had the 10 different history posts that were up there.
There are a whole bunch that were there.
I think Montreal had the most pinned threads.
It was like the awards, the history, the team info, draft picks, put it in one.
Argar went really in depth with those posts, and you know it's good to have a record of all that, but there was just so much; it was cluttered. But
yeah, definitely.
I will be putting up a post that kind of summarizes each or most of those posts, but then also links back for the more detailed versions of them and the original versions of them. So they're going to be there. I've had a busy week, so I haven't gotten around to it.
All right. So next, he asks, are there any mythical creatures you would have wished to see instead, and thoughts on the Militia Cup win? So I think, can't think of any major mythical creatures. What would happen? Oh fuck! I honestly can't think of any, like a Bigfoot team maybe. That would be funny.
That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any mythical creatures. I can think of a few other brands that we had in mind.
The New Mexico Chupacabra. I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
That's a possibility. Not a good one, but yeah. And thoughts on the Militia Cup win. So I'm a Crows boy, but honestly, I think it's great that they won a cup. I was actually looking at the cup winners, the GMs of SMJHL cup winners, because there's no official thread on the site, and I think I have a whole list of them here on my computer, the last Montreal win was back in season 33 when Grapehead was a GM. So honestly, that it's pretty impressive to be able to win with a historic team that's been there since forever. I think how many wins? There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins ever. So honestly, for two guys to come in their first season, win one of the seven cups ever for a historic team, that's pretty impressive. And honestly, yeah, I'm part of the management team, but I think there's many more cups coming to these guys.
We honestly, when Trell and I took over last offseason, we didn't think we had a cup window for this past season. With the roster that we were given, with any roster we could have built, we were fairly certain that this past season would be rebuilding. You know, get a lot
of
draft picks.
You had a whole bunch of rookies. You had a whole bunch of rookies, and then you managed to sweep in the finals.
No, we won in 5.
Almost sweep.
Almost sweep.
I wasn't paying attention to the finals very much, because I wasn't in it.
But, so we went, we basically decided before the draft, this is a rebuild season. Get a bunch of picks, try to keep all as many of them active as we can, go into next season with a bunch of capped guys, and take over. And so, we, Halsey requested a trade to someone, because he wanted a cup before he got called up. And I'm going to extend apology to Halsey for trading him away from the cup winners. But did any of us really see that coming? And then I had a few teams inquire about a player that just hadn't messaged me back. And so going into rebuild, I was like, screw it. And had someone else inquire about Keegan, and so I asked Keegan, and I was like, hey, had someone ask about you, I haven't put you on the block, but do you want to stay, or do you want to try and find a cup somewhere else? And he basically said the decision was up to me, that he didn't care either way. And so basically when I got that message, I was like, this is, we're going full rebuild. Of course, I wasn't going to try and trade away Hunt, because I still want at least something competent back in, so it just wasn't a dumpster fire. I'll take a rebuild, but not a dumpster fire. Especially with no other apparent option heading into the second season. So I checked the index. We had 13 rookies on the roster heading into the playoffs, out of 21 that skate each night or each game. However, we had 14 throughout the season. Antti Halonen was on the roster for a period of time, but we dropped him for a free agent. But we end up with 14 rookies overall throughout the season. And we're returning, I think, 11 of them. Either 10 or 11. So, right near the end of the season, we were doing our tests, and we were simming fairly well. And so we thought, especially going into next season, we were looking at it really, we need another defenseman for next season, at least. And so a few people were shopping defensemen. We asked around. Missed out on 2 trades, and ended up Bruins, his player, Kasper's Claude, wasn't on the block, but I was just looking around and was like, here's somebody who's got a pretty good build, high TP, active. He's got a season left after this. Let's see if Vancouver's open to trading. And we end up getting something worked out. And he's going to be down next season. But that trade, I think, was probably the cup-winning move. Was getting another defenseman to solidify that back end. And then we went into the playoffs. We somehow squeaked out with the bye. And then we played Halifax. That went to 7. That was a nail biter. Because we went down 3-2, and I was like, man, I don't. Because I traded the season's first round for Claude. And I was like, I don't have this first round pick if we lose, and that's a lottery pick that we basically just gave up to Vancouver. So I was like, I really don't want to go out like this. Somehow managed to bring that back. Then we go into Detroit, and I'm like, I'm fine bowing out now because it's not a potential lottery pick. Tess, to be honest, did not go well against Detroit. So I was expecting to go out. Then the first sim came in, it's a win. No, the first sim came in, it was a loss. Second sim comes in, it's a win. Awesome, we're not getting swept. Third sim comes in, it's a win. We've got a lead. Fourth sim comes in, we've got a win. What the fuck? Fifth sim comes in. Oh, we just beat Detroit. Okay, this is happening. I think that was the moment where I was like, I'm fairly certain we're winning this cup. Because Detroit was stacked. And I feel bad for Tig and Nor because they've gotten the short end of the stick for a long time. And, you know, being a Crow boy originally, you know, we both were on the fuck Detroit hype train. But that's more of a meme, honestly. Like, I personally don't have anything against anybody on Detroit. They've got some pretty good people in Detroit. And so it's, if you ever hear us saying that, it's more of a meme. It's not anything personal. But I really did feel bad because I was like, you guys deserve this. They were simming better. They had built this. They had put it together. They haven't had the luck. And then to go out like that, I know if I were in their position, I would be pissed. But then I was like, screw it, we're in the finals. So we, we get into the finals against Kelowna, and that was almost a sweep. But I remember talking with Trellix, we both watched the sim stream, and we were like, we're so excited for these play-by-plays to start because our rookies were just so excited for the finals to start. They couldn't believe they were in the finals. We couldn't believe we were in the finals. But to see the excitement in the locker room, like I remember my first season in St. Louis, we won. It was the second of that three-peat. Mm-hmm. And I remember being excited for the finals to start. It's like, fuck. Like my first season, we're about to win a cup. Let's go. And so I was like, to experience that from the other side was really fulfilling. It was a really good feeling just to see the amount of people and the amount of excitement just build up. And to know what was coming, I was like, God, I want that play-by-play to come sooner so that we can see, you know, everybody just kind of win. It was definitely unexpected, but I don't think it's the last either.
Boy, I just answered like six of those questions.
Yep.
What was the full story of the playoffs? Wow.
And the season, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally understand where you're coming from for the coming in your first season and then being super excited during the playoffs. Because I came in late season 46, on the Crows. I think coming off, they were, Crows came off two straight cup wins, so going for that three-peat. And I was only a fourth liner, so like I was on the ice very little, but just coming back to the site, being in those finals, I totally understand the whole excitement that's there. It's so great. And then winning the cup is even better.
Such a satisfying feeling.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, next we got what news do you think will happen in the offseason for the SMJHL, and do you think any shakeups will occur in the rosters? So I'm going to answer the rosters question first. Tons of shakeups will happen, especially I know the Scarecrow's going through a lot. A fella's going through a lot right now.
Lots of prayers over to St. Louis.
Yeah. But if you look back, last time they lost a shit ton of guys, I think season 48. Season 48,
they lost the finals, right?
Yeah. No, we didn't even make the finals, but we won the President's Trophy. And
oh, that's right.
The first time for a while after losing a whole bunch of guys. Because, I don't know,
I remember being in the war room for that. I was like, we're losing so many people, I think.
Yeah, you were going up. Everyone from season 47 except for me was going up.
Me, Gordy, Fever, Langa, who was aging out.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, I don't know about the other teams. I know the Crows were losing Mika, me, Huck.
That's three big ones right there.
That's the captains. Then I think, are we losing anyone? I know we're losing Basil Magnacata. That's a main one. I don't know if there's anyone else. I feel like there's definitely someone else. I should know.
Is Stennett staying though?
He's staying. He's gonna be the old guy in the room. But he's got it. But yeah, it's like there's definitely going to be some shakeups in the SMJHL because people are just leaving.
Yeah, there are some people that might end up getting moved that'll shake up a few things I know from other teams.
A whole bunch of the season 47 guys are going up. Selman, Parmborg. Ronick. What are you saying?
There were some waiver players for the season too that got a few contract issues to work out.
Yeah, definitely. But stuff is gonna happen to the teams. They're gonna figure it out. It's all gonna be all good. So and then anything will happen in the off season.
What's the worst kept secret about the TPE cap?
Yeah, the TPE cap is gonna get raised.
If you're in your
don't know when, but
yeah,
soon.
They might as well announce it. I mean, everybody knows about it by now. But third, fourth, and fifth season in juniors, the cap for those players will be $425. Whereas the cap for players in their sophomore season is going to be $350.
So we have a decent amount of time, but I think we're going to want to speed up these questions a bit. So yeah. I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and then I'm going to end off Chicago's questions with the fun personality one. So We got thoughts on the staff and management, and two questions. Any future big plans for the team that you can share, and what tips would you give to rookies on your team looking forward to the future?
All right, well, thoughts on management. You and Trella were my top two for co-GM, and it basically was resting on whether Trella got the head office position. As much as it sucks that he didn't, I'm glad that he didn't, because it meant he was able to be on my staff, and he's been a good friend both in discussions in various management positions, mainly Team USA, and also outside of the SHL, like playing Chell a lot. Like, he's a good friend, and I love that he's able to come on. We got Campen Killer. You know, he sent in an application for Co, and I really liked his application, and he's been a great help as well. He brings in a lot of sim knowledge, but I, you know, was still really wanting Trella or you to be my Co, so I just asked him if he would be okay being on the staff. Sloth got let go from his old management position, and he has been, I think, my best hire so far. He's a rookie mentor, and he's always talking in there. It is amazing. Love Sloth. And then, of course, you are somebody I've been wanting to work with for a while, and so bringing you on was amazing. And then had Ricky Bobby's user reach out and ask if we needed help, and it's kind of what I did with Joe in St. Louis and again in New Orleans. And those two opportunities have helped me be where I am now. And so I wanted to bring on a first gen, and having him reach out just made that decision that much easier. And so I think I love everybody on my staff. I think we're in a great position staff-wise moving forward. Any big plans? Not that I can share. We got a few things we're working on, and that's about all that I can say about it. If they fall through, they fall through. No big deal. But if they happen, well, you guys will have to wait and see. Tips for the rookies looking towards the future. Just try to carry the team-first mentality. Phineas Gold's user, Zoram, is exemplifying that this offseason by moving to center and filling a roster need when he absolutely didn't need to. But there's a lot of... I'm not saying with the group of rookies that we have, but I have seen other rookies, you know, they get passed on, they get taken mid rounds, late rounds, and they get pissed off. Like, I put in all this work. Why'd I go so late? Try not to have that attitude. Try to have more of the, you know what, this guy, this GM, this team made a good decision in taking me. I'm going to make everybody else regret not taking me. And just try to communicate. If you think you have a problem with somebody, try to communicate it. A lot of this league the majority of this league is online. Not everybody voice chats every day. There's a lot of text conversations. Sarcasm does not carry well through text. If you think you have a problem with somebody, talk it out. It's very likely just a misunderstanding. But just be the best person that you can be. Everything else will follow.
Yeah, some good advice. So, on a related note, he asks us, what should rookies know about the upcoming SMJHL draft, and any teams that rookies should look out for, especially, or stay away from? And two other draft-related questions. Any advice about reaching out to GMs about the draft, and advice in general for rookies looking, trying to get more involved? So, I mean, I think both of us can answer these questions. So, for rookies, definitely just being active. I know it's only, by the time this is put out, there's a day until the actual draft. So, being active, being getting your personality out there will help the teams know if you're a good fit for their locker room. That's one of the main things.
And you never personality. Know, you never know who's watching.
Yeah.
Like you, there are some people in every locker room that don't talk, but maybe they don't have a chance to, but they can read. And so they can see if you're talking in the locker room, how you're talking in the locker room. And not every GM has a chance to reach out, especially with a Reddit class. Sometimes somebody accidentally gets overlooked, regardless of their activity level or this or that. And so if you don't get a message from somebody, or if you even get like an automated message, don't think too much into it. It's not personal. It's just they're trying to cover as much ground as they can.
Yeah. Honestly, just the GMs know what they're looking for in a rookie. And most of the time, it's not just TV. It's activity, personality, what you fit in with the guys in the locker room. If all of that works out, you end up on the team. Sometimes you end up on a team that you won't get along with, but you can work out with, you can work that shit out. That is an easy fix.
And if you get drafted somewhere and you figure out within like a season or two that you're not a good fit with that locker room, with those group of people, there's free agency.
Yep, free agency.
And so you can end up going somewhere else, just getting through that first season or two after getting drafted. If you don't like where you are, it can be a little rough.
But yeah, definitely.
But most, if not all, GMs will take a good personality and a decent earner over the best earner with a crappy or no personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then any teams that rookies should look out for.
I'm pleading with you on this one.
I personally don't want to shit talk any teams because I have a lot of respect for a majority of the GMs, and they already go through a lot of shit. So any teams, I mean, it all depends on what you're looking for. So if you're looking for a team that is going through if they're really good right now, if you want an underdog team, don't go for something like Buffalo. Buffalo, we're really good right now, but we can be an underdog, but we're the top of our top of our division. So if you're not looking for that kind of stuff, maybe don't come to us. But we have an active locker room. So, I mean, it all depends on what you're looking for in a team. So, I really don't know. Dog, definitely. Toronto. Toronto would be a good one.
Yeah, they're going through a big rebuild right now.
Yeah, homie's going through some stuff right now.
Homie's going through some stuff. ML's a good guy over in Toronto.
But they got some good guys. They got ML, Mika.
Mika, yeah.
That's all I can name.
And sometimes going into a situation like that, it's not great at first. Like with Montreal, we took over a dead locker room. And within a season, we had a plethora of picks, but we were able to bring the activity back up, and it's bopping again. And so go into the SHL equivalent, maybe they don't have as many picks, so it might take a little longer. You can be a part of putting a team back on the map. And so if that's not your style, that's fine. Make sure that GM knows it, so you don't get into a situation where you're butting heads immediately. But there's nothing wrong with trying to help a culture.
So yeah, we're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to try and finish up Chicago's questions and move on. right. So now we have for you favorite sandwich, and for me most underrated beverage.
Favorite sandwich: Cat's Deli, New York City, pastrami on rye, a little bit of mustard.
Fuck yeah! You want to go with me sometime?
Absolutely.
I live like 20-minute walk away.
I had that sandwich when I was in like 7th grade. I went to a Yankees game. I've had dreams about that sandwich since.
It's so overpriced, but it's so good.
Nah, it's worth it. As long as you don't eat it every day. Or like me, every decade.
True. Yeah. And then most underrated beverage. I'm a water guy. So,
R/Hydro homies.
Hydro homies. But overrated beverage, I'd say just soda in general. I'm not a soda guy. I don't drink soda. Like, too bubbly for me. I'll have a beer, but like, I don't know. I'm not a soda guy.
Beer is overrated to me, honestly.
Like, I'll have a beer if it's in like a social situation. Like, if someone offers me one, I'll have it. But I'm not gonna have soda. Yeah. So now we got Fish, who asks even more questions. So what's the proper way to eat a muffin? Top to bottom, bottom to top, or are you savages that just eat it side to side?
First off, I want to know, who the fuck are you to eat it side to side?
I don't know about that.
Top to bottom.
I mean, it depends. I eat it top to bottom, but once I finish that top, I eat it side to side.
Yeah, like, I'll eat the top, eat the top off, side to side, make the bottom to where you can just take normal bites out of it without getting muffin everywhere.
Yeah. Are there any rookies you guys have interacted with that you hope for your SHL, that you hope your SHL team drafts?
All of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch. Probably any of the active Crows guys would be great.
There's a number of guys that
the Montreal guys have been a blast to talk. And I mean, Carolina, my bad.
I mean, you're all good.
Yeah, it's a learning curve, but
it'll take some time. Yeah. Like, there were even some guys I talked to heading into last draft that I wasn't able to draft that I would still like New Orleans to draft.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. A lot of them are really great guys, at least the ones that are still active. Yeah. And how did this podcast start? So, in the Nug, Luke, whenever we were doing voice chats, Luke would play What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones. And I guess a few weeks later, I was like thinking of, it's a John Mulaney skit if you haven't seen it. I think a few podcasts back, we posted the link to it. But I was thinking to myself, I was probably driving or something. I was like, hey, what's new pussy cast? And I was like, this could be a podcast name. So I messaged him and he's like, let's do it. And then like a month and a half later, we finally record the first episode. So
here we are.
And here we are, fourth episode. It's been a month since the start. And honestly, I think it takes time for the chemistry between two people in a podcast to grow. And I think it's working. There's a difference. And next, who would survive the longest on a deserted island with no chance of rescue and minimal supplies?
Blast. Blast all day. That man gets everything done with, I don't know how.
Yes. Just in general?
Just or, in general.
Who out of us? Us two. I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't survive.
Oh, dear God, not me. I don't
know. So we're both not going to survive. Yes, yeah,
we blast. Both die. We both die. Luke, the sick one, has the better chance of either of us.
Yeah, definitely. In memoriam. Well, we're acting like he's dead. He's.
I hate to break it to you, Luke. I've taken over.
It's been a week. He's so sick.
Come back.
Yeah, and then do you think the next SHL, SMJHL rebrand should include international cities, say London or Moscow?
I'm not opposed to an international rebrand. I wouldn't want something super far away like Moscow. You know, just thinking regionally, that would be way too far. London, I could see working.
Any Estonian teams?
I think Western Europe would be the place to go for an international rebrand. Outside of that, I think you're stretching it too far.
I think... I don't know. I like the idea of international teams, but it's just like...
I don't think it'll...
If it was a real thing, it wouldn't work, and I would hate it. I would absolutely hate it. But, like, thinking about it, maybe even, like, exhibition games, where we say, like, oh, this exhibition game takes place in another country, so it's special. That would be cool.
Just do some weird mid-season play-by-play.
Mid-season play-by-play in
Helsinki.
Yeah. Or like someplace, yeah. Japan, Tokyo.
Just do each season rotate through the IHF countries.
Yeah, definitely.
But and then, I don't think it would be passed, but I think if someone would propose it, it would need to be Western Europe.
Yeah. Or like even have the IIHF countries host something. So like they create graphics, they do all that shit, and they can host a exhibition game with a team in their country.
Or a preseason series or something.
Yeah, something like that. Wow, we really just came up with something that's pretty cool.
Hope you're listening, Nike.
And then we got Civ or Age of Empires.
Neither, because I have to pay for both.
I've never played either, so.
I want Civ, but I don't have the money for it.
Yeah, I actually bought Civ 5, but I lost the Steam account that it's connected to because someone hacked it. So
rip.
So I lost a couple games actually, but. I actually never played it, so it was a waste of money when I first bought it. So, for you, he asks, with the Pacific Ocean being far deeper, bigger, and more unexplored, one may say that if the Kraken were an actual species, it would have a higher chance of existing in the Pacific than the Atlantic. With this prediction in mind, would you have preferred to name the Kraken after a Western North American city on the coast of the Pacific? That is a mouthful.
Well, I'm going to go with no, because the actual folklore behind the Kraken is the North Atlantic, mainly the Nordic countries, Norway, Greenland, Sweden up there. So while I do understand the stretch that we made to name it the Carolina Kraken, are there really dragons in Calgary? Like, I'm not, that's not me dissing Calgary. I love the brand, and if it goes anywhere, somebody's going down with it. But like, it was a suggestion from a current rookie that we thought could work, and we ran with it. You know, the graveyard, the Atlantic, is right off the coast of the Carolinas. And so even in terms of folklore, you could probably make the stretch of the Kraken having interactions with pirates in the graveyard of the Atlantic. So I think it's less of a stretch than some people make it out to be. But I get it.
Yeah. And then I guess he says that you already answered this, but for me, what SMJHL team do you think needs a rebrand the most? How about SHL? So I guess two teams are brand new. So we got the Outlaws and the Lions, and then the Armada were just rebranded from the
George.
From Prince George, yeah. So I don't think any teams really need a rebrand.
Personally, I would say if anybody needs it, it's Lethbridge. I would even argue that Lethbridge needed it more than Montreal did.
Lethbridge is brand new.
It
could use it.
I mean, if you look back, the Brandon Blazers were rebranded as the Montreal Impact 3 seasons in. And so it's not, like, there is precedent to a team being rebranded relatively soon. And that team was thrown together literally at the last minute. It was, I think, and I could very well be wrong, but the Lions was a name of a team that Argar uses in his prospect showcase. And so very Melwood just been like, Lions? What's a L City? Lethbridge? There we go. And it was just last minute branding. And like, even Anaheim, the logo ended up being ripped from an ESPN article, and they went and changed it this offseason. So good on them for fixing that. But I think Lethbridge needs, because the original plan was, it's a long story, but it was not planned to be a team to stay around. So I think it's about time that it gets changed into an actual team that's going to stay.
Yeah. I. So then he asked me specifically, would you have accepted a role with St. Louis if it had been offered? I mean, duh, yeah. But I didn't really get anything. I think, yeah, if it had been offered, I would have accepted something. But it would have had to have been offered, like, while I was on the team, like in August or something, because, yeah. That's... It's not the greatest answer, but if my full answer would be like, if I was offered something, I would have taken it. And finally, we have, I'm going to butcher this, Pulivamiste? I'm sorry if I butchered that. I probably did. So he asked, to all who have been involved in a prior draft, who do you think have been your best deal? How about bust?
So I guess this only applies to me.
So yeah, probably.
You can bring this up to Luke the next time pod he's on. But
this could definitely be another question when Luke comes back.
Yeah, for sure. But I think even though I've been in a few drafts as a scout, I'm going to stick to last draft, seeing as it was the one where I was really able to make the picks that I wanted to make. Because, like, as a scout, you can give suggestions. The choice ultimately ends up with the GM. And so, for me,
the biggest bust, I would say, is Cat Patter. We took him in the fourth round. I think it was like 37th overall. We were kind of scrambling to find a pick at that point. I think we took a little long sending that pick in. We liked his interested prospects thread response. And I think he was online at the time, but he never stuck around. Didn't really talk anything, didn't respond to any messages. So that was a bust. In terms of steel, I truly believe everybody we got was a steal, regardless of comparing their TPE ranking to where they actually got taken. But I think the biggest steal was Alexei Rykov, Raging Cajun, at 50th overall. To get someone that active and that high of an earner, who's also great in the locker room at 50, you're not going to find many people taken around that pick or later that have done that well. You can go back and look at Gordy Boomhoover and Alistair Kane as two examples of people taken later that were and are really good earners and great in the locker room. But me personally, that it's one draft. It was the guy that should have been gone when we got him, but we were lucky enough to get him. So
yeah, it's honestly,
it can be pretty hard to find those late picks that really shine through. I totally agree. But I don't have much to say about this because you kind of brought up what I was going to say about Gordy and Slash being like pretty big steals in drafts. I've never drafted anyone, so I wouldn't really have a good answer. But I guess it's come to the time where, yeah, to end the podcast. It's been about an hour. It's been great talking to you. And it's been,
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast. It's a bummer that Luke couldn't be here, but
just have to bring me back when he's back.
Yeah. who knows? You may be a guest sometime soon. We actually weren't even expecting to have a guest this early. We ended the last podcast saying that we probably wouldn't have one until like the sixth episode. So here we are, the fourth episode. Premature guest.
Ah, the timing just worked.
Yeah, it did. It really did. But it's the end of another podcast, and I guess we'll see you at the next Pussycast. Episode 5.